Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, for the next 2 hours, you're stuck with me, Mark Salem, and my wife, Renee, and we're talking about cars, car repair. Should I buy this car? Here's two cars. My wife wants this. My husband wants that. All those kinds of things. The problem is that you need to know well in advance that I'm going to side with your wife because that's the path of least resistance.
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't sound like a real supportive yes, you know what I mean? This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa. The only shop in Mesa that I can honestly tell you to visit is Thompson's Auto Repair. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. Now, that doesn't mean there's other good shops. There's not other good shops in Mesa, but he has applied, and he has met all the requirements to be on our best car repair shops list. Brian and Thelma have ASE certified technicians. They do a good job. They follow up with friendly reminders what you might be due for. They'll help you keep your vehicle in any shape you want. Anything that you need, they'll help you with. Thompson's Auto Repair, Main Street, just east of Stapley. And there I got ahead of myself because I dropped a piece of paper before I said it.
Yeah.
So nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You know, I watched the news this morning.
Okay.
More than I normally do.
Okay.
And I was watching the weather people, and I was watching the word like and definitely is something that just, it got inside my head and it can't come out.
Yeah.
The words like and indefinitely. Not too long ago, there was something I was at, it was at a speaker or it was on television or whatever, where this young man was talking and every other word out of his mouth was like.
It's distracting, yeah.
And then I interviewed someone not too long ago where like was a like part of, like my whole life is, my sister like, my mother like, I mean, it just went on and on and on.
Don't start, it'll get you and you'll start saying it.
I don't think it'll get me, I'll tell you what. Okay, so we've had quite a few calls here recently with respect to, car repair stuff. And so I thought I'd touch a couple of those just in case that, they happen to apply to, you know, anybody else that's out there. One of the things that I found really kind of unusual is there's a gentleman in Leeds, Alabama.
Okay.
And he's a retired policeman. And he has a Ford pickup truck. And he has this shutter.
Okay.
Do you know what a shutter is?
Well, I don't know if it's a brake shutter or is it a engine shutter or a hesitation is kind of what I think of, or a shutter when you're braking is kind of a pulsation.
Right. But the words people use,
right,
you got to kind of drill down,
right,
to find out. So I asked him a lot of questions, and it sounded as if he had an engine miss. And supposedly he checked and had a misfire code.
Okay.
So I asked him a couple of things over the internet, and I just said to him, I just don't know enough information to guide you, but if you have a misfire code, then maybe that's the first place you should use. Because it was, does it do it cold or hot? Well, sometimes some, sometimes another. And the questions, answers were vague.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't really tell. And I said, when you have a misfire, you can have a hardware problem like a spark plug, a wire, a coil. But you could also have too rich, too lean, a vacuum leak. So I'm asking him questions, trying to jumble it up in my empty head to figure out what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So he, this is the most amazing, one I've ever sent, and I'm looking forward to as fast as I can right now because I did send it over to Lorenzo and ask him to comment on it. But, and he's a transmission guy. But anyway, he writes me an email back and he says, this is what I've had done. Between me and all my friends in the garage, we replaced all the spark plugs, all the spark plug wires, or boots as we call them, and all the coils.
Okay.
And he said that didn't fix it. So then he says, I took it back to him and I said, what else can it be? Now keep in mind this Ford truck has 200,000 miles on it.
Okay.
So it's been around the block a couple of times. And they said, well, you know, it could be the timing chain. Well, when you take the front of a Ford engine apart, mm-hmm. especially the small V8s, you got your hands full. On a 1 to 10 scale, that's a number 8
okay.
with respect to sophistication. So when you go in and do the timing chain, you do the front crankshaft sensor, you might have to do the harmonic balancer, you might have to do the water pump. There's a lot to be done. It's not like that 327 V8 that we had in the 70s. It's completely different. That's typically, on the top end, $2,000 worth of work.
Okay.
He has all that done.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what he says?
What?
He says, yep, you're right, Mark. It's still there.
Oh, my.
So then he tells me that he has, when he drives down the road, that this shutter occurs between 35 miles an hour to 50 miles an hour. 35 to 55. Well, that's where we go into high gear in the automatic transmissions, because we have 1, 2, 3, and then we have overdrive and lockup. Mm-hmm. So we have kind of 5 speeds to a transmission. They just have different nomenclature. So first gear, second gear, third gear, and then we go into overdrive, which is really fourth gear, and then we lock the converter, which means that one revolution of the engine is one revolution of the rear wheels.
Okay.
So we have direct drive. And when you lock the converter, usually you're in that 35 to 55 mile an hour range. So I say to him, well, I want you to go drive it, and I want you to push the button on the shifter, and I want you to take it out of overdrive, mm-hmm. lockup, overdrive. So he writes me back and he goes, it doesn't do it when I push the button, and it does when I do.
Oh, boy.
So I says, well, we got a transmission problem. He goes, well, I talked to all my buddies, and everybody says, would you got a $200,000 transmission, so you should just go ahead and do that. And I'm thinking, if it's an external issue, he's going to put a new tranny in it and have the same problem.
Right.
So there's all these different things. When you want to test your transmission, sometimes you just gently apply the brake when you're doing north of 55 miles an hour, and you'll feel a little bit of a bump, which is a downshift. And you'll also see the tachometer go up just a tad. But basically, the brake application unlocks the torque converter. If you've ever come to a stop in a 4-speed, 5-speed engine, mm-hmm. or car, or truck, if you forget to push in the clutch, as you come to a stop, it goes da-da-da-da-da-da. And
yeah.
It comes to a stop with a violent jerk. Okay?
Okay.
That's what a torque converter does. Torque converter has to unlock. And so when you hit the brakes, the computer goes, unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 100 years ago, GM had a front-wheel drive car, and people would get off the freeway. And as they would get off the freeway, the car would do just exactly that. It was like it was in fourth gear, and they hadn't put the clutch in. Duke, 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 da, and then it would die. So they'd put it in neutral, start up the car perfectly, and the minute they put it into drive, the front wheels would squeal, and it would die. So then they'd put it in neutral, and they'd start it up, and they'd rev the heck out of it, and then they'd throw it into drive, and the front wheels would burn off of it, and they would take off. And then everything was fine.
Okay.
So we had a tough time. What was going on? So somebody decided to disconnect the torque converter clutch connector on the transmission. Problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
It was gone. So you plug it in and the problem would be back. You unplugged it and the problem would go away. So everybody knew that it was a torque converter problem. And basically we were locking the engine to the rear wheels. So when they came to a stop, the engine died.
Okay. This isn't on the truck though. This is on the car that you were talking about.
It's similar.
Okay.
It's similar. It's going to have an application that's going to lock up the converter. But his shutter, he calls, his mm-hmm. shutter, goes away when he pushes his overdrive button. So we're taking it out of high gear. We're going down. He says, and the tachometer comes up a little bit, and I expect all that. So now it's kind of like, I don't want to tell you to go get a new transmission. I think it needs to be diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to spend the money. He spent, according to my calculations, somewhere between $2,500 and $4,000 already, guessing.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's been on YouTube like everybody else goes to, and then people
and
are guessing.
And all his friends.
And all of his friends and all that other kind of stuff.
We don't know if they're technicians or...
We don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about him. So the big picture on this whole thing, are you there? Hello? Is Gil there?
I hear you, Mark.
There he is.
Okay. I just didn't see any activity going on, and I thought maybe we had
you were quiet.
yeah. So nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I don't think I'm good enough to have that go on because I can't diagnose it, you know, thousands of miles
away. So you told them to go have the transmission diagnosed or try to get somebody to look at it and see?
Well, I think what we've done for the first time is we've actually been able to determine what makes it okay and what makes it not okay.
Part of the vehicle it is causing and the shutter.
This is going to be related to the overdrive because that's what the overdrive button does.
Right.
So at least we now know. But the question is there's external things that lock and unlock it, but it also could be some part of the converter itself.
Sure.
But 200,000 miles, you end up with a bunch of trash in the converter because the converter's a hydraulic component. So we pump fluid into it. It spins around, creates pressure. So as this transmission wears over 200,000 miles, a lot of the clutch material, a lot of the metal that is shed on a normal transmission ends up in the converter.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the application that's messed up? And the answer is probably no, because it works and it locks and unlocks.
Right.
So the application of the converter, but the shutter could easily be the converter.
Mm-hmm.
So you take it out and you put a new one in, but you have to flush the transmission when you do that to get all the metal because we can't take the trash out of the transmission and put it in the new converter.
Right.
So you replace the filter and you do all the fluid. So it's a big deal.
Sure.
By the time you're done with this, you're probably $300 to $500 into it.
But that's better than a new transmission.
But he needs a new transmission because they don't go 200,000 miles.
Okay.
Then he's
okay. Did he say he'd ever had it done? He's never had it done.
This is what he said. I don't want to buy a new truck because I haven't spent a dime on this truck in the last 10 years.
Oh, okay. So he probably hasn't.
It's time to spend a dime.
Right. Yeah.
And so you wouldn't want to take your situation and have it go away on you, do a bunch of work to the transmission and end up
with the same problem. Yeah.
Because that's what he's already done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should have it diagnosed to make sure that it is a torque converter issue that's causing this shutter.
Yeah.
Only in between 35 and 55. And if it is, then we just check some pressures and check some other things on the transmission and then make a decision. But I think a rebuilt transmission, once the external components are checked, I think the rebuilt transmission is the most likely place.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that he's doing the test right that me and others are giving him.
Right.
So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. When we come back, you know what a CVT transmission is?
I've heard of it. I know.
Okay. Constant velocity transmission.
Okay.
What it is, it has no gears.
Okay.
It has this pulley system that gives you power on the low end, and then the faster you go, then the faster the transmission lets you go.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody came up with, should I put a new cooler into my transmission circuit on my CVT Nissan Versa?
Mm-hmm.
Will that make it last longer? What they're alluding to is the CVT transmissions have an expected life, depending on who you ask,
mm-hmm.
on the low side of 60,000 and 90 on the top.
Yeah.
And that's expected life. Few of them make north of 100, 110. So that CVT transmission, while it's kind of good for fuel economy and it doesn't have all these gears, it's expensive.
Right.
So the question is should you put a cooler on it? And I'll give you the answer in a few minutes. Well, welcome back, everybody. And I probably should get my phone or my clock out of the way here, huh? But I can't see anything because 21 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock.
You make me nervous when you start pushing all these buttons during the during the break.
I make me nervous.
I never know if you're coming back or not.
I'm making me nervous. All righty. Well, anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Okay, we were talking about the CVT transmission. It's in the Hondas, it's in Nissans, it's a couple of other import cars. And you know how when you ride a 10-speed bike,
sure.
You know when you shift the shift the gears,
yes.
That it goes from you pedal real fast and you don't go anywhere
until
you're just barely pedaling and you're just flying down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's a CVT transmission. You have two sets of gears. Okay.
Okay.
If you use the small one in the front and the big one in the back, you got power.
Okay.
But if you use the small one in the front and the small one in the back, you got speed. That's what a constant velocity transmission is all about. It's a matter of moving two gears.
Yeah.
And so, like on a 10-speed bike, you have three gears in the front,
mm-hmm.
and then you have, I don't know, five or six in the back. Maybe seven in the back. I don't know. So, as you look at that, you make it goes slow or fast depending on whether you're using the big sprocket in the front and the little one in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10th gear. That's real high.
Yeah.
So the CVT, I called Lorenzo and I said to him, a cooler on a CVT? I've never been asked that question before. And he goes, no. And I said, why? And he goes, well, first of all, they already have a cooler. Second of all, the CVTs don't die of heat. He said, they die of shedding inside.
Okay.
So he says they create a real fine dust and particles. And that's why everybody's now saying to the CVT people is, let's change your fluid and clean up your filter every 30,000 miles, because there's a flow control valve inside the CVT mm-hmm. that controls fluid flow. And, of course, the transmission does everything based on fuel or oil pressure.
Okay.
So this flow control valve gets boogered up with all this trash.
Mm-hmm.
So it stops working, which means the transmission stops working.
Okay.
And when you take that apart, you find all this trash that would otherwise be in the transmission. So the answer to my guy that sent me an email mm-hmm. was, another cooler won't fix anything on your CVT because it doesn't die of overheating like a big Dodge truck or some of the people that pull stuff that shouldn't be pulling, boats and trailers and stuff. Their transmission overheats, cooks the fluid, and then the transmission goes bad. There's no heat issues with the CVT.
Yeah.
So the answer is forget the cooler idea. Just spend your money maybe once a year having the transmission service. Let's remove the old fluid. Let's clean the filter and send you back on your way.
Yeah, we had a customer that had one of those, and he couldn't find anybody to work on those. They would either take them completely out and just replace the whole thing, but they don't rebuild them, and you can't get parts for them or something like that. I guess they're not real
good for that. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, and I know we've got a caller, but I'll give you an example. If you were a doctor of animals here, mm-hmm. the last thing in Arizona that you would know about is giraffes, okay?
Right.
There's none here. Elephants, there's nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
So the transmission guys, these CVTs don't even make 1% of all the vehicles on the market.
Okay.
So why would you buy thousands of dollars of specialty tools to diagnose, check the fuel pressure or the line pressure, check this, check that? Why would you do that for less than 1% of the cars on the road?
Okay.
Now, another thing is the guys that do rebuild them aren't doing a good job, and nobody wants anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
So your only option is a crate transmission.
Okay.
That's your only option. So no one else is going to take it apart. Now, there's some guys that will go in and look at the flow control valve,
mm-hmm.
and if it's all dirty, they'll clean it up, change the fluid, and then they'll say to you, there's no warranty on my work.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to work, and if it works 10,000 or 20,000 miles more, you won.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, you lost, and you're in no better shape or worse shape than you are before.
Than you were, yeah.
All righty, 602-508-0960, and Gil, who have we got as our first caller?
Say hello to Wally.
Wally, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. I got a 2000 Pontiac Bonneville V6, over 200,000 miles, did a valve job 15,000 miles ago. At a long stoplight, I get a blue puff out the tailpipe. Not every time, but probably one out of five times. So I'm wondering if I've got valve spoon seals bad or rings on the cylinder. What should I do?
Well, first of all, how long has this been going on? The blue
smoke?
About
3 months. About 3 months.
Okay. What I would do is you did a valve job on it, and if you didn't have this puff of blue smoke, then it probably is the valves, but we have to find out what cylinder it is. So I think if you've driven it 100 miles or more since this blue puff has happened, I think you'll be able to pull the spark plugs and you'll be able to compare the porcelain and the tip and to each other, and I think you can clearly find out which cylinder you got a problem in.
Okay.
Now we know that spark plug will show that you're consuming oil out of that cylinder, so that will guide you. But that doesn't mean you have something wrong with the heads. This could also be something where we've got an intake manifold gasket. Keep in mind the intake manifold passes water to the head and back. And then it also has some oil return lines to it, and there's oil in underneath the intake. And so as a result of that, we can have a bad intake gasket, which had to come off for you to do the valve job, and we're sucking oil out of the bottom of the valley. And so
okay.
There's a couple of different places. Now, if if I was looking for the gasket problem, this is what I'd do. I'd block off the PCV valve. I'd pull the PCV valve out of the valve cover, and I'd block it with five layers of duct tape. I'd pull the dipstick out, and I'd put a vacuum gauge on the dipstick. And so I'd start it up, and I better not have any vacuum on that dipstick tube. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because I'm disabling the PCV valve, positive crankcase ventilator. So it's the vacuum cleaner for the engine. So I'm putting duct tape over that hole. Now I'm checking the vacuum at the dipstick, which is, they end up at the same place inside the motor, and that tells me if I've got an intake gasket that's leaking. But your spark plugs is start number one. Then you can do a compression test on that cylinder plus two others. And then you can do a wet-dry compression test on it where you squirt some oil in there and run another compression test. If the rings are bad in that cylinder, you'll see it in the wet-dry compression test. If you see one spark plug bad, then you could pull the valve cover and replace just the guide or just the seal on the guide. Yep. You could do that if you wanted to. The problem with that is if you drop that valve inside the cylinder, you're in so much trouble everywhere you can imagine, you're going to be in big-time trouble. So we use air through the spark plug hole to hold the valve shut. Then you have to know how to unload the spring and take the keepers out, slide a new seal on it without pushing the valve into the cylinder, because when that happens, you're going to use bad words that your wife hasn't heard in a long time.
Yeah, we're aware of that situation, done a little bit of that, so we could do that. All right. I will check for that intake. That sounds like a real possibility. So I will check all those things, and I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. Good luck to you. And when we get down to working on cars, the easy thing to remember is that you have to control the risk. And if you don't know, I can't tell you how much money customers of mine have spent by going someplace where they really had no business to. And oftentimes the damage is 10 times the tool. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
All about that theme and automobile.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and the phone number, if you have a car question or a car problem, or you want to discuss a car issue, or if you want to tell us about a symptom set that you had and how it was fixed, that's always kind of interesting. And what we don't want to talk about is, we don't want to talk about codes as being the focus. So if we have an O2 sensor code, or if we have a EFE code, or if we have a DPF code, we don't want to talk about, you know, that's going to mean that you replace those sensors, because that's not the truth in any way, shape, or form. And who would know that better is Kurtz Auto Repair up on I-17 in Bell. They do gas and diesel. They've worked on domestic import gas and diesel for a very long time. Kurt's a master technician. Jeff's a master technician. Eric's a master technician. So you got three top guys, and two of them got their hands dirty, and Kurt sometimes too. But you're working with a shop that's been well-schooled and has proven their expertise in bumper-to-bumper kind of car repair. So if you live anywhere near I-17 and Bell and you don't have a repair shop that you just love, then stop by, make an appointment for an oil change, and see how you like them, and see how you like how they treat you and how they communicate with you. So that's Kurtz Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell. Maria, good morning. What can I do to help you?
My husband bought me a 2018 Maserati a couple of months ago, and I was just wondering if there is an independent that's authorized by Maserati to do any of the services, like just a simple oil change. I think they want like $1,200.
Okay. You're not obligated to have Maserati do your services.
Okay.
That could create a problem in a warranty issue, but most of us can do an oil change with, I mean, Renee, how many years has it been, or how many months has it been since we had some conflict about an oil change we did on a car under warranty?
Yeah.
Or rotating tires or cleaning the battery terminals or any of that kind of stuff. It's just never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to your question is are you sure it's $1,200 for an oil change?
I won't swear to it, but I think that's what they said when I... or maybe they wanted that much for a package of three or something. I can't remember, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
It floored me when I heard it.
Okay. Now, how many miles does your new car have on it?
5,000.
Okay. Okay.
It's not due yet.
Okay. And how do you know it's not due yet? Is there a light on your dash that tells you we're due for an oil change?
Yes.
Okay.
There isn't a light now.
Okay.
I just want to know for the future, you know, when it happens.
I think, first of all, I know that virtually every shop I know, the good shops in town, would have no problem. An oil change is we drain the oil, we take the filter off, we match it to the new one, we put it on. And the Maserati oil filters isn't built by Maserati. It's built by Wix, or it's built by Champ, or it's built by a lot of other companies that do filters for everybody. So then I would look in your owner's manual to find out what kind of oil it is, but I'm quite sure you have a synthetic in there. And the synthetic takes your oil change, a normal oil change, from about $45, $50, all the way to well past 100, and depending on how many quarts your Maserati holds. If it has a synthetic oil, and it'll say that in the manual, then your oil change interval is going to be between 8 and 10,000 miles. And so then depending on how many you drive, Marie, isn't that kind of maybe once a year for you?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I would have the oil changed. I would arrange to have the oil change done in April or May, and then go through the summer with fresh, clean oil. That's what we do with our cars.
I'm not here in the summer, so I don't drive my car.
Okay, it's no big deal. It's just in the geographical area of Phoenix. It's with our tremendous heat and our summers that are so bad. It's just nice to go through the summer with fresh oil. Now, on your Maserati, you're going to have some oil changes, and you're going to have some inspections. Now, the inspections are real easy. Check the hoses, the belts, the fluids, the tires. Those are the four. Mm-hmm. So it's a visual check, and air up your tires. That, along with every other oil change, you probably have a tire rotation, and in your car, the backs go to your front, the front go to the back. And during those inspections, you would look for anything that had a problem. You'd look for corrosion on the battery terminals. You'd look at any coolant leaks, any oil leaks, all that kind of stuff. And if you found something, you would tell the Maserati owner, and they would take it back to the dealership. But last but not least, my wife's standing here, and she wants me to ask you something. She says, what did you do to how nice were you, or how is it that you got a Maserati from her husband?
He said, I've taken good care of him. We're, 73 and 5. And he
good
said,
for
I've
you.
Taken good care of him.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think he and I would get along just fine, because I understand the joy of giving. And so I'm sure that he received a good feeling, because he bought you something that most of us probably wouldn't buy for our wives. My wife drinks like a fish, and I can't possibly buy her.
Okay, we have to take a break, but thanks, Marie.
And, of course, I'm kidding you about my wife, but Marie, good luck to you.
And
what part of town are you in, real quick?
We're in northern Peoria.
Okay.
Maybe
up by 83rd and like 83rd and Joe Max.
Okay, I don't have anybody way up north there. Do you guys work in? Do you come down into the valley any closer for anything regular?
Yeah, I go to Scottsdale, and I have my kids live over there, and we have our business by the Deer Valley Airport. We're still working.
Okay. Now, Tom Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway is a friend of mine, and he's exactly the guy that you would want, because he is a sponge. And before you brought your car in, he'd ask you year, make, and model, and he would know everything about your car before you even got there. So okay. I know that at 40th and Greenway, which is not too away from your Scottsdale store, then I also want you to call Goody at Goody's Mercedes-Benz in Scottsdale. Now, he only does Mercedes-Benz, but the question to him is Mark said you might know some independent that's capable of doing normal maintenance on your Maserati. And okay. There's a lot of other shops. Kurt's at I-17 and Bell, or I-17 and Deer Valley, Action Auto. Both of those guys could do it as well. But if you're going to be in Scottsdale, then Blackwell's probably your closest shop, okay?
Okay, thanks for all your help. I appreciate it.
You're
Happy
welcome.
New Year to both of you.
Same to you. Thank you.
And with that, we'll be back in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee. Together, we've been in the car repair business for 39 years. She started when she was 6 years old, and I was a little bit older. But what are you smiling for?
I'm just laughing at you.
Okay. And before we go to, 602-508-0960, if you have a car question, 602-508-0960. Maria, hopefully you're still listening. Mm-hmm. We looked it up. And your car has a 12,000-mile oil change interval. We looked it up, and we found that there are shops out there that are quoting almost $600 an oil change, which would dovetail nicely into her $1,200 number. She was buying two oil changes for $1,200. There also is a note in there that you better get the oil filter on right. Otherwise, it can cost you an engine. And, of course, none of us want to buy a Maserati engine, but we all have insurance for that kind of stuff. But let me explain. You remember the little old lady that was a customer of ours?
Yes.
And you remember that we screwed up the oil filter?
Yep.
The parts guy went out into the shop, and he had two filters for different cars, but they were both Toyotas. Mm-hmm. And he gave filter A to the B car and filter B to the A car.
Right.
So the other car turned out to be fine, although we recalled it real fast. But the little old lady's car, she hopped in it. She made it, what, two or three blocks down the road?
Yep.
There was a huge oil slick behind her. So we brought the car in. We tried a variety of things.
Right.
The motor was gone. And it wasn't her fault. It was our fault.
Yeah,
so we put another motor in there.
I think she kept driving, too. But
she drove it a long time.
Home or something.
And the red light was on, and the oil was all over the exhaust, and there's a string of oil from our place to her house.
Yeah.
And I wish she would have stopped when she saw the red light, and it would have saved me a lot of money. But that's the key right there. I would say to Maria, no matter who does your oil change, you pay particular attention to what's going on behind you.
Right.
So if you're driving down the road and you're leaving a wet spot on the road, you have to stop, pull over right then, right there.
Right. Not the red lights on the dash.
Anything like that at all. We actually mess up an oil filter maybe once a year.
Oh, I don't even know if it's that much.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm going to say it is. And that's usually because we double gasket the oil filter, or we don't tighten it appropriately and it leaks. Mm-hmm. There's a variety of reasons. But the volume of oil and the oil changes we do is horrendous on an annual basis. So when they talk about if you don't get the oil filter right, I'm quite sure that my senior guys who have 20 or 25 years, the guys with gray hair that work for me, they've never messed up an oil filter.
Right.
It's the young bucks that are straight out of high school or straight out of technical school that think they know it all, that screw up, that kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But all of us know how to put filters on, and we know what to do, how to check it for a gasket, how to make sure that it's exactly like the old one, all that stuff. You know the threaded thing that you screw the filter on?
Right.
You can take your finger and stick it in there. Now, the hole may be from small to big.
Right.
So you use the same finger. You find out which one your finger goes down to the knuckle. Then you take the new one, and your finger better go in that far.
So you kiss the gaskets.
You take the new filter and the old filter, mm-hmm. and you touch them together, and the gaskets better touch one another and be perfect in height-wise.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy to
you
not mess that up.
Expert.
No,
mechanic, you.
I've learned from experience. I've bought an engine or two because of my stupidity.
Yep.
I can guarantee
really?
It that.
Cool.
I have. Nevertheless, we're going to talk real quick about Automatic Transmission Exchange, and they are at 40th Street in Washington on the north side of the road. Phil owns Automatic Transmission Exchange. He's probably one of the best transmission shops in the entire valley. He really does know the old cars to the new cars. He's been around a really long time. And like I said, he has a fundamental knowledge. So he's gone from the 1950s and the 1960s and the 1970s when transmissions were super simple compared to the computer-controlled ones we have today that can have 8 forward speeds. So he's really good at all that kind of stuff. So if you have a transmission concern, like a leak, it doesn't shift right, or maybe it slips in the morning but not in the afternoon, or maybe you have something issue that you want to talk about, then Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th and Washington, north side of the road, is a good place to go. Okay, anything else you want to talk
any
about?
Any other weird emails or calls this week?
Yeah. Remember the guy in Alabama?
Yes.
I found the email. Listen to this.
Okay.
Took my car to a shop, ended up replacing all the ignition coils, all the spark plugs, and I had a couple of coils that were bad along with the boots, considering the mileage. That's what they say when they mess up and spend a lot of money. Well, I needed it anyway. You'll hear that, okay?
Okay.
Then he says, computer showed no issues with the coils or plugs after we replaced them. So he evidently, if that's the truth, he evidently had an engine miss.
Okay.
Okay. Then he says, truck ran fine for a short times, but then the symptoms, remember the shutter? It came back. He says, well, we discussed, at that point, the shop says, you know, it can't be the spark plugs or the coil, so we want to change the timing chain, the cam phasers, and the timing chain, the guides, the cam phasers, the water pump, the valve cover timing gaskets, and the front rear seal. We put all that back together, and this is what he writes. Back on the road, and you guessed it, the shutter is still there.
Oh, boy.
We have spent $2,000 already because he's doing a let's go to the garage and get a consensus. Mm-hmm. So everybody's guessing. And right. He's saying, okay, well, this guess sounds right. Mm-hmm. So then to clarify the shutter, it occurs when I get to speeds 35 to 55 and I'm coasting and I lightly apply the accelerator. You can feel it. The transmission's been serviced every 30,000 miles, and I don't care about that. It's got 200,000 miles on it. It's been around the world 8 times. Mm-hmm. So it's, and it's a Ford. So those two things are strike one, strike two. The transmission shifts firm with no slip and under acceleration and downshifts immediately into second and first when it comes to a stop. When I take the overdrive off, I don't get the shutter, but I'm also running at a higher RPM. So he's thinking the higher RPM is where the problem is. It's not. When you drive, you shift from fifth to fourth, the RPM goes up. Well, that's what he's doing when he pushes the overdrive button, but the fact that the shutter goes away when the overdrive's pushed tells you all you need to know. This is a torque converter problem. Mm-hmm. So he says, that, when I take off an overdrive, blah, 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 and here's my question to you, Mark. If I continue to drive this, will this cause any damage to my engine or transmission? Well, I don't know what it is, so I can't answer that question, but let's look at it from a pragmatic point of view. You can drive it, but you're going to have to replace the transmission one way or another, right. So it doesn't make any difference, and the transmission's not going to cause anything in the engine to fail. Mm-hmm. So forget the engine, but if whatever this is. And he says, now here's the kicker. This is wonderful. Or should I bite the bullet and pay to have a new torque converter replaced as not to cause any other damage? Mark, thanks for your time. P.S. I've been told it's time for a new truck, but I haven't had a car payment in 12 years, and this truck runs just fine. I just have a hiccup. Well, if he hasn't had a car payment for 12 years, and this thing's running at 200,000 miles, he hasn't put a bunch of money into this, then even if he had to put a transmission in, so what?
Yeah.
So what?
A new car.
Yeah. I mean, the license plates and sales tax would pay for two transmissions in this truck. Mm-hmm. So, and he's a retired policeman. Did I tell you that?
Yes, you did.
I mean, and I like policemen. But sometimes they are the worst customers to have, except for Tommy and his kids.
Okay.
Tommy's a customer of ours, and he's a policeman. And he always comes in and gives us the symptoms. He's one of the best customers we have, but he's a policeman, and he knows the symptoms.
Okay.
And he doesn't tell us how to fix it. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, that's what happens to us when we run across. Most of the guys tell us how to fix it and what they want us to do, and then we have to pry the symptoms out of them. Mm-hmm. The women will come in and make the noises for us. But the hairy-chested guys, those guys are the toughest ones to deal with.
Yep.
The hairy-chested guys.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, and you, when you run the front counter, how do you handle the hairy-chested guys?
Oh, they'll tell me anything.
Yeah, whether it's the truth or not. Oh, and speaking of the truth, there was a guy that we were talking about, this code he had in his engine. And it has to do with the EGR, the exhaust gas recirculation valve. And so I said to him, this is what I want you to do. Let's verify the EGR is working. So have the engine idle. Stick your fingers underneath the EGR valve and open it, and it should die or almost die. Mm-hmm. So I said, we need to know if the passageways and the EGR are plugged up, and that will tell us in a heartbeat. Right. So he writes back and he goes, no, everything was fine. Then later he tells me that it was fixed as we cleaned up the passageways in the EGR. And so my question is if everything was fine, then it wasn't plugged. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So it's kind of like there's three answers to a car question.
Okay.
Yes, no, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. And the women know the yes and the no just fine, but the men, they don't know the third one. I'm just teasing them. Okay. I'm not calling them Ford owners either. I'm just saying men in general.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
So I go tell my doctor, how to fix me.
Yeah, I know you do. You tell everybody how to fix everything, whether they want to know or not.
I say to them, I know that there's lots of head medicines, and this is the one I think is going to fit me the best.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you, too, about Harker's Automotive. Harker's is at 38th Avenue in Indian School, and there's another good example of a gray-haired guy that just knows everything about cars, and his name is Bob, and he runs the shop. Ellen, you're going to deal with her at the front counter. Bob is one of those guys that you can go in and tell him, I've had my car to every shop in town and nobody can fix it. And you'll see his eyes just go wide open because that's the kind of gauntlet he responds to. I remember I had a Dodge truck that, I don't know, it was something weird. Like you turn on the windshield wipers and the radio station changed. Something weird. Mm-hmm. And he says, I can't find anybody. I said, you take it to Bob and just tell him that Salem said that there's not a prayer in hell that he's going to fix it. So he does. Mm-hmm. Then he calls me back and he goes, he fixed it. So then I call Bob and I go, let me in on the fix. Mm-hmm. So what did you do? He goes, I'm not going to tell you.
He says,
if you get one of those, then send it to me and I know how to fix it. So anyway, 38th Avenue in Indian School, Bob and Ellen at Larry Harker's Auto, good shop to go to if you live on the west side. If you have one of those cars that you say, nobody's been able to fix this, then certainly Harker's would be in my top three shops throughout the valley that you should go to and ask Bob to take a look at it. Obviously, there's going to be some diagnostic time in there, but the diagnostic time is the beginning, and then we bid it and give you an estimate. You okay the repair. We perform the repair, and then we go drive the car to make absolutely sure that we fixed the problem you brought it in for. Because it's a sin in our industry to charge you $1,200 to fix a hiccup and give you the car back with a hiccup. That's not what you want to, that's not the kind of shop you want.
Kind of like our guy in Leeds, Alabama.
Leeds, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 602-508-0960. We're going to take a break here in a minute and a half, but we'll come back at about 3 minutes after the top of the hour. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. If you want to find a good shop in your area, 602-508-0960. If you're having a tough time with a specific car and you think you need a Ford guy or a GM guy or a Maserati guy, then we can guide you the best we can as well. We also have a pretty good feel for body shops. Mm-hmm. We also have a pretty good feel for transmission shops. But ATE is our go-to transmission shop. But I want to tell you, I just can't recommend any other transmission shop.
I know. We've had a lot of problems,
and most of them are related to the second or third generation owners. Mm-hmm. Because there was a time back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and even up to the 2000s, where we dealt with a transmission shop, and it was the best transmission shop in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. But the two owners retired and sold it to another gentleman, and all hell broke loose. Mm-hmm. So it was just one of those things that happens. But when they sell, it depends on the quality of the person that they're selling to, and oftentimes it's a businessman with no transmission background. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it especially difficult. So nevertheless, if you're looking for a good transmission shop, then Automatic Transmission Exchange, and likewise, Harker at 38th Avenue and Indian School is a good place to go if you've got a car that nobody else can fix. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Renee, my wife, and my email address is mark@marksalem.com.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and I'm here to be of assistance to you. And if you have a car question or car problem, if you want to talk about the different colors of coolant. In the old days, we had green, but now we have orange, and we have pink, and we have blue, and then we have amber. We have all these different coolants, and they're all different. But in reality, when you get down to the bottom line, you can use an amber, which is a universal coolant for virtually every car out there. So there's a lot of shops that have just gone to the universal amber and not buying the proprietary pink or the yellow or the green. And the green's not proprietary, but the pink or the yellow or the red. There's all those different coolants. Nevertheless, let me tell you a story, and this is the kind of email I like. I went to your website and I selected Goodyear S&S Tire, which is a Goodyear store, to use as the shop to diagnose a problem with the truck. On Saturday, I dropped it off and only mentioned there was a check engine light on, which means there's a code. And for the most part, it seemed to be running okay. About 2 hours later, I received a call from S&S Tire, Mike, and he informed me that the truck was fixed and ready to go. His tech discovered two lean codes as described below. And here's the deal. The two lean codes, we're looking at the computer and we're saying, hey, what's bothering you? And the computer says the 202 sensors are both lean and they won't go rich. Now, there's a method to my madness here, so I'm telling you that in advance. Most shops will not just replace the two oxygen sensors because the computer's pointing at them, because we don't know if they're the messenger or the problem. But the three-whiskered kid at the auto parts store is going to try to sell you two, because they're going to sell you two and it's going to cost you $100 or more for the two, sometimes $250. And they're there for sales, and all they're doing is guessing with your money. But I'll continue about S&S. They discovered two lean codes, and they found a hose that was disconnected from the airbox. Once he reconnected the hose, he cleared the codes, and he went and drove it, and everything was fine, and the codes didn't come back. I told Mike I listened to Mark Salem's show, and I was happy to report that he and the shop had earned my trust by properly diagnosing and correcting my problem. Mark, I was still out $110 for the visit, but it certainly beats the $500 estimate that I had from another shop. Here's what was going on. The $500 was two oxygen sensors installed. So here's the deal. The oxygen sensors are the messenger. They're both screaming, open the faucet, the fuel faucet. Open the faucet. Oh, give us more fuel. And the computer says, I got the faucet all the way open. And they're going, I don't see that. Well, Rich is... the faucet's open, and lean is the faucet's, you know, restricted. Well, the problem in this case was, is we had a vacuum hose that had come disconnected, so the engine was sucking a tremendous amount of air, and no matter how much the computer opened up the fuel faucet, it couldn't overcome that huge volume of air that was being inhaled by the motor. So again, the oxygen sensors were the messenger. And so you can't just replace the messenger, because that's what everybody else wants you to do. You have to find out and you have to talk to the oxygen sensors. So they go, hey, can you see Rich? And the oxygen sensor says, I don't know, try me. So they feed a little propane to the engine. Boom. They say Rich. Well, the oxygen sensor only has two positions, lean and Rich, and everything in between. So if they can see lean, because you can see that they see lean, and then you make them look at Rich, there's nothing wrong with them. So anyway, the guy spends $110, and he says it beats the $500 estimate that I had for the other shop. Here's the issue. The issue is $110, this is what he paid for. They went and drove the truck. Then they came back, and they put their scanner on the car, and they found out that the O2 sensors are showing lean, and they found O2 sensor lean codes. At that point, they said, let's see if they can see Rich, which is the opposite side of the spectrum. So they get some propane or whatever. The carb spray works good, and you spray it into the engine, and all of a sudden, the O2 sensor goes from 1 to 10. So 1 is down, and 10 is high. Okay? So then it looks at both of them, and you can look it on your scanner, which is different than a code reader. A scanner is something that's worth $5,000, $10,000. A code reader you can buy off the internet for $6. So they show that the oxygen sensor can see Rich, and they go, okay, we got a lean condition. It could be a fuel filter that's plugged up that can cause the oxygen sensors to be replaced, and you know the success rate of that is about slim and none. Mm-hmm. So the issue is as we go along the diagnostic process, test drive the car, verify the codes, clear the codes. They come back immediately. The codes are lean. Start looking for a cause of lean. Look, underneath this area of the motor, there's this big vacuum line that's come undone. We plug it back into the port. Everything's good. You clear the codes. You go drive it. You drive it around for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. You stop and start it. You come back in. You look at the O2 sensors through your scanner, and they're switching. Lean, Rich, lean, Rich, lean, Rich. That means they're alive and working. At that point, there's no more codes. The problem is solved, and that's the truck. Now, that's what he paid $110 for.
Yeah, which isn't bad.
No, I can tell you right now, if someone would say to me, a vacuum leak, I would say to myself, you know, it's probably got $75 to $100 worth of diagnostic money. And that's just, and then they got to find the hose. Then they got to go drive the car, clear the coach, drive the car to make sure the coach don't come back. I would have bet $150. Mm-hmm. So $110 is fair.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's beyond fair.
Right.
So that was S&S Tire at the Goodyear store off of I-10 and Goodyear. And that's a shop that I recommend, but I'm really happy to read those kinds of emails because they make me proud that I recommend them. And in reality, I've never regretted recommending them. It was just always a pretty easy thing for me to do. But that's S&S Tires. They have three locations. I think they're in Surprise. Let me look here real quick. Surprise, Goodyear,
and Peoria.
That's what it is. Yeah, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. Three stores, west side, and they sell tires from lawnmower tires and wheelbarrow tires all the way up to tractor tires. So they're in the west side, and they're a good shop to go.
Yep.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, if you have a car question or a car problem. We were arguing last night on the way home from dinner about the airflow in your car.
Okay, yeah.
You remember?
Yes.
Okay. So what three different areas does your car have airflow in?
The windshield.
Okay.
Out the center vents and down below at the heater.
At the floor.
Right.
Okay. Well, when we were coming home, you and I had a disconnect because...
We usually do.
Anyway, I wanted the heat out of the center vents.
Right.
Because that's where it felt the best. I didn't care about the windshield, and I sure as heck didn't care about my feet. But somehow or another, we got off on the same track. And first you put it at the windshield, then you put it at the floor. And then, I'm going to accept responsibility for the miscommunication because I should.
Because it was your fault. That's good. No, my car, you can put it at the windshield. And center, okay, so it can give you heat and it can blow on the windshield.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was. And you said put it down below because obviously it doesn't come out as much at the center if it's on the windshield too.
Right.
And so you said put it down below. So obviously I turned on the heater because down below to me is the heater. And you said, no, how come now it's not blown out the dash? And
Well, it was at the windshield first.
This is what I have to deal with people.
Yeah. It was at the windshield first. And then I said, put it down to the next setting, which was dash.
No, it was windshield. See, that's what you didn't know. It was windshield and dash.
Okay, well, it wasn't coming out of the... Your car's a Ford anyway. There's no explanation why.
It works perfectly.
Yeah, there's no explanation.
Mine heats up way faster than yours does for that little car. We have a caller.
The motor is as big as a lunchbox for construction guy. Of course it heats up fast. My goodness, don't try to throw that at the car guy. Oh, it heats up fast. Well, that's because the motor's the size of a heater. Yeah, the motor's
my
the size
Ford
of a weed
car.
Eater.
Doesn't matter. It works for me.
Okay, Gil, who have we got?
We have Bill.
Bill, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Mark. Happy holiday.
Thank you.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Really, thank you. Really enjoy your show. And just wanted to comment, I've never had a Ford, and I'm not planning to ever have a Ford, but I do have an 03 Grand Am.
Okay.
And something weird happened. Just yesterday, I was driving. It's a starting problem is what the issue is.
Okay.
So I parked at Sam's Club and went in and came out and wouldn't start. Plenty of power.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, okay.
When you say it wouldn't start, it would crank over but wouldn't catch, or it wouldn't crank over?
It would not crank over at all.
Bingo. All right, because see, when you say the car won't start, some shops will go, oh, well, that's fuel or spark. But in reality, right. What you meant is it won't crank over. But continue on.
Yeah, so a month ago I put a new battery in it just, you know, because actually this happened a month ago too. It's really sporadic.
Okay.
And everything works. The door locks work when you turn the ignition on, and you know everything works normal, except when you turn the switch to start, nothing happens.
No click. Just, no nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
And how many miles are on this Grand Am?
103,000.
Okay. First of all, if you go to marksalem.com and click on FAQs. I think it's FAQ 28.
I don't know.
I think it's FAQ 28. And hang on a minute, and I'll just tell you which one it is, because I got a computer here in front of me. And the FAQ 28 is my car won't crank. And so I want you to look at the headlights when this is happening, because we're going to use the headlights as a meter, okay? If you hit the key and the headlights go completely out, you have a bad connection somewhere. Now, the headlights will go completely out. And
I was able to do that, just to let you know. And the headlights didn't change as far as, you know, brightness or anything. They stayed the same.
Good. That means the solenoid is not even activating the starter. So the solenoid's job is to take 12 volts, to magnetize the piston, to energize the starter motor, and it does that all on its own. So we should have a drop in battery voltage when the starter goes. So we're going to go from 12.5 to maybe 10, 9.5, somewhere around there.
Okay.
So no click means that the solenoid's not acting. Now, do you know where the starter's at underneath your car?
Yeah, I do. I can see it. Okay. It's at the front of it.
Okay, good. Carry a hammer. Do you have your...
I tried that, too.
Did you beat on the starter?
Yeah, we did. Actually, I'd have it towed yesterday, and the tow truck driver tried that.
Okay.
Didn't help.
Okay.
But,
then we got a problem.
Can I tell you something else, though?
Go.
So I had to have it towed home. And I still, it wouldn't start, you know, thought maybe if towing it, there's a bad ground or something, it might start. Did not start. Went out this morning, started right up.
Okay. All right. That's the worst case scenario, because now, and of course, but the problem is we pounded on the starter. Now, the only other thing, here's the issue. When you hit the key, we send battery voltage through the neutral safety switch and then to the starter solenoid that transfers that to the starter.
Right.
I need you to shake the shifter. So the next time
it does.
Okay, well then you need a new starter.
And
you're going to buy a starter and a solenoid as a package, and you're going to buy it from a company that you recognize the name. So some Spanish company or some Chinese company or some South American company. If it's in a box like that, I'm thinking Delco. I'm thinking Motorcraft, because even Motorcraft makes a starter for your car. Even though it's a General Motors, but everything you've told me would suggest to me that the starter is in fact defective. And if you wiggled the shifter and you didn't see the headlights dim at all, two things, and a jump start never helped you, then I'm 96 to 98% sure that your starter and solenoid need to be replaced. Okay.
So why? One last question. So why would, if it's the starter, why would it work in the morning but not yesterday? Is it a sporadic thing?
Well, here's the deal. The brushes on the back of the armature, they're carbon. They have to touch the armature. So him hitting it, if it's so carboned up inside there and there's so much trash in the starter, when he hits it with a hammer, oftentimes that jars the brushes down to the armature. And then, boom, it starts right up. And you go, okay, well, it's the starter. In your particular case, it's probably because the brushes are gone. But no one cares about the question you ask, because if you change the starter and everything goes good, then there's no reason to do an autopsy on the old starter. It's just bad for whatever reason, and you've driven 103,000 miles, which is four times around the girth of the earth, and just be thankful that's all it cost you. But to do an autopsy on the old starter would be a waste of time. If the new starter fixes it, we're done. Okay?
I hear you.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mark.
You betcha. Thank you, Bill. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back.
Hello, I'm Greg May, owner of Phoenix Body Works. For 35 years, we've been demonstrating our workmanship, our honesty, our integrity, and our exceptional customer service. We are blessed to have so many repeat customers who refer their friends and family. We have ethical, loyal technicians who have been with us for years. They are ICAR certified, which means they are up to date on the latest technology and techniques, so your repairs meet or exceed industry standards. Our technicians are truly part of our family. We are very capable of fixing your car. We pull off damaged parts. We pull your frame and body mounts back to where they should be. Then we install the new parts. We align both the front and rear end. Then your car is back to the way it was when new. Our customers come from all over the valley. I'm Greg May. Remember, it's your vehicle. You pick the shop, not the insurance company. Phoenix Body Works. We want to be your collision repair specialist. Call us 623-582-1434. Monday through Friday, 9 to noon on Saturday.
You wouldn't dive into a pool without knowing how deep it is. So why would you dig without knowing what's below? Underground utilities are buried all over Arizona. Accidentally strike one and you could be injured or wipe out services like water, power, and internet. Call 811 or click Arizona811.com to have utilities marked first. It's free, easy, and it's the law. Remember, call 811 or click Arizona811.com. Sponsored by Arizona 811 in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Andrew, thank you for holding through the break. How can I help you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So I've got a 1972 Ford F-100, and it's got a bit of slop in the steering. It's a 4x4 with a manual steering box. The symptom I have is when I turn that wheel, it turns about a quarter turn before engaging down at that steering gear.
Okay. And is the play underneath the steering wheel, or is it underneath the hood, or do you know?
I probably wouldn't know. The thing that I'm seeing is that when I turn that steering wheel, or when I have someone turn it for me, I see the shaft turn under the hood. And then after a quarter turn is when you see it catch in the steering box and begin to turn those wheels.
Okay, all right. Does it have a tilt wheel on it by chance?
No.
Okay. We have problems with steering columns in the old Ford trucks, and typically the problem is behind the steering wheel. Now, does the shaft move in complete synchronization to the steering wheel?
Yes.
So I'm not questioning you. I'm just going to give you a better. You put your hand on the shaft and you look at the person turning the steering wheel, and they put their hand at 12 o'clock, and then they go a little left and come back to 12, a little bit right and come back to 12, and your hand's on the steering column, and you can see that what's moving in your hand is moving exactly on the steering wheel, right?
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe his phone went to
mute or something.
Or maybe it went to his car. Sometimes when you get in your car, sometimes you lose somebody you're talking to. But anyway, if the steering wheel and the shaft underneath the hood are moving in complete synchronization, then you look at the pitman arm, which is the shaft that comes out of the bottom of the steering box, because the steering shaft goes into the steering box, and then at the bottom is another, it's called the pitman arm, and the pitman arm is what makes the tires go left and right. So you have to follow that path. So you take your steering wheel, and first of all, you move it left and right about a fist width, 4 or 5 inches. Left, center, stop at center, go right, come back to center and stop. Somebody else is holding onto the steering shaft underneath the hood, mm-hmm. and they're looking to see if what's in their hand matches what the steering wheel is. Then you look at the pitman arm, and you have the hand, your right hand on the shaft, and you're looking at the pitman arm, and more than likely, the shaft that's in your right hand is going to be rotating, but the pitman arm isn't.
Okay.
That means the steering box either needs to be adjusted or needs to be replaced.
Okay.
A gray-haired guy to adjust that might cost you $35 to $55, and you have to do it right. And here's the problem: you can't possibly mark where you started. So if you take the nut loose and you start messing with the adjustment, oh boy, you can mess that thing up something fierce. But us old gray haired guys know how to do that. That's if the shaft into the steering box is moving with the steering wheel, then look below the steering box, because there's a shaft that comes out the bottom, and that's called the pitman arm, and it should move in synchronization too. If it doesn't, and the delay is in the steering box, then under the best of conditions, $35 to $55 to adjust the steering box, and you're home free. The adjustment may not work, and if that's the case, you're going to have to put a steering box in it. Now, what part of town do you live in?
I'm in Mesa.
Okay. You can do a lot of that yourself, Andrew. But uh-huh. if you want to, somebody to verify it, go over to Thompson's on Main Street east of Stapley and tell Brian, I said, please crawl underneath the truck and look at the pitman arm. And he'll do that for you. He'll okay. do that for you. All righty?
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
See, he has a 1972 Ford. They last forever.
You know, you're right. You're right. And I need to tell people, because sometimes people get involved in this discussion and this argument about Ford and Chevy and all that.
Right.
This has been going on since I was a little boy.
I know.
I make fun of Fords, but then I make fun of the General Motors, some of the diesels. I make fun of some of the Ford diesels. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an equal opportunity.
Make fun of her.
Make fun of her. Yeah, that's exactly right. And for me, there's lots of cars that are big pieces of dog manure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cars. And Chevrolet's got their fair share. So does Ford. So does Chrysler. So does Maserati. So does Mercedes-Benz. Everybody's got the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The cars that just suck the money out of your wallet.
Right.
But there's also drivers that cause the problem as well. The driver, there's a lot of people that just simply wait till something happens before they address it.
Right.
Now, never mind the front tires are worn to the steel. They'll just replace the front tires but not fix the problem that caused the tires to wear to the steel belt.
Right, yep. And we've seen a lot of that lately with the, you know, bad times and people not working, and they just drive their cars till they need way more than they would have had they done it in the very beginning.
And at least find out. Now, we did John's car not too long ago, and John took his car into a shop, and they gave him an $1,100 or $1,200 estimate. I don't remember exactly what, but it was a heck of a lot of money.
Okay.
So one of the things was they needed to do all this front-end work. Well, we were 2 degrees away from getting into the green zone, and mm-hmm. we couldn't get that without replacing one lower upper control arm. We also had a slight drift to the left. So that degree or two, if we could have gone from a -2 to a +2, we would have got rid of the drift to the left.
Right.
But we couldn't. We were locked up against the place that you get stuck with.
Mm-hmm.
So we called him and we said, we want to do just one upper control arm, and we'll get rid of the pull and the tire wear. We're going to take care of all of that, but we just need to do one of the control arms.
Right.
So we did one. The pull was gone. The alignment was perfect. Everything was fine. But that's the difference between the old guys and the new guys. We know that we're 2 or 3 degrees away from being perfect, but we're up against the stop, mm-hmm. so we can't get that 2 or 3 degrees we need. We also know it's pulling to the left because of that 2 or 3 degrees. So if we can move it away or past that area, then we're home free.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, alignments is more than just looking at a screen and looking to see if the number's a green one or a red one, because that's a bunch of bull crap, because you need to know more than that, especially if the car's got to pull to the left or the right. So the guy's going to come back, he's the three-whiskered kid, and he goes, oh, it's all in specification. And then the people go, it still pulls to the left then, buddy. Yeah. Fix the pull to the left. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how. And of course, if it's pulling to the left, then what you do is you add a little camber to the right front and boom, you're done. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. In the last segment or so, we had the gentleman with a no start.
Right.
And people come in a lot and they say, my car won't start. Intermittently, it won't start, or it won't start now. But I just want to drive home the point that there's two different things. The car cranks over fine, but it doesn't catch. Or when I hit the key, nothing happens. Both of those are no starts. But in reality, it's two separate diagnostic processes. So if you hit the key and nothing happens, the starter, the solenoid, the ignition switch, the neutral safety switch. But if you hit the key and it cranks over and doesn't start, then that's fuel or spark. Mm-hmm. So you can see the difference there. It's the direction we go in, and it's really up to you to say, it cranks over but it doesn't start, or when I hit the key, nothing happens. Now, FAQ 28 says, no start, no crank, no click. Folks, these FAQs have been created, I think there's more than 60 of them, have been created based on all the questions we've got on the radio since 1988. Yes?
Yes.
I mean, we kept track of all the questions. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read a few. Hard to start, extended cranking, hot or cold. Oil filters, oil change intervals, synthetic oils, oil consumption problems, rear AC. If you got rear AC in your car, your Suburban, your Expedition, you better read this. Road salt, smoke, black, blue, white, or gray. Spark plug, starting and warming up your engine. Storing your car long term. We have lots of FAQs, and it's a good place to go. And sometimes I talk technical. If you don't understand, that's okay, but I'm doing it for those guys that work in their garages at home. So it's a little bit more technical, but I try to avoid that. Skip, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, I'm thinking I'm going to try to help you with that old Ford pickup truck.
Oh, sure.
I got one in my driveway right now, and I'm a gray-haired guy, and I've been playing with those things for years. I heard there's a fabric disc between the steering wheel shaft and the input shaft on that steering box.
Uh-huh.
That acts kind of like a U-joint, and it's maybe a quarter, 3 inches thick, and it's about 4 or 5 inches diameter. And it absorbs shock, and it makes up for not quite perfect alignment, and that play will happen when that thing tears.
Okay, and you're right. That's called the rag joint.
Yep.
And it's a piece of mud flap material that's round, and it connects two metal shafts. And what it does is it doesn't take the vibrations from the steering box and the frame, and it doesn't translate them all the way up to the steering wheel. So it's kind
exactly.
of a buffer. And you're right. That rag joint, when it comes apart, it's got a safety device where the steering wheel will turn left and right, but the shaft won't. But almost always, and I'm not going to argue with you because you could very well be right that this is a rag joint, and it's $4 at the auto parts store and 2 bolts. It's a piece of cake to replace. But usually when the rag joint's bad, they say when I turn left and right, it has a lot of play, but there's a clicking noise that goes along with it that I can hear and I can feel. And that's because when the rag joint goes apart, then we have these two pieces of metal clicking on one another, and that rag joint would otherwise keep that from happening. But you bring up a good point, Skip. You bring up something I missed.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. And I don't mind at all that anybody has any problems. Strictly Diesel is a place that you don't need to worry about not knowing about diesels, because that's all Nate does. Nate's a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop. He is dedicated to providing the very best service and getting the job done the first time. And that part of that is communication at the front counter. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, they are diehard diesel service, repair, and parts. They work on foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. They're at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road on the east side. And they sell parts and talk about car parts for your diesel 24 hours a day on the Strictly Diesel website. So Nate's a great guy. He knows diesel. And you know, when you know a guy that knows diesel, every once in a while when he shakes your hand and you walk away, you got the faint odor of diesel on your hand.
I hope not.
And his fingernails are clean.
Okay.
So it's just the way it is. And, if you know, that happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
And you talked about your FAQs. They're under MarkSalem.com, so they know where to find them.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
There's a little tab up there that says FAQs.
And folks, some questions. We've covered questions for virtually 90% of the questions that are asked of us over the last, well, since 1988. So what's that, 20 years?
No,
30.
Yeah,
30 years. We have created these FAQs. How many has it got? Yeah.
1 minute.
Oh, he said 1 minute.
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was answering the question.
Oh, he was doing your math for you.
Yeah,
huh?
I thought he was doing my math for me.
Can't do math for myself.
Yeah, he has a tough time doing 2 and 2, honey. Okay, so 2018.
That's not true, Gil.
Minus 19. At night. Oh, wait a minute. See, I can't even push the stupid buttons in the calculator. 2018 minus 1988. 30 years. 30
go.
Years of.
That's what you said.
Yeah. And I was guessing. But
I know.
30 years of experience that we have put together in the FAQs. And I rewrite them on a regular basis to update them. But you can also leave a question on our website, or you can just send it to mark@marksalem.com. But our website is marksalem.com. My name, M-A-R-K, and then Salem like the cigarette for the you gray-haired people, S-A-L-E-M. You say Salem like the cigarette to some young guy with tattoos all over his face, he doesn't even have a clue as to what you're saying. But all my life, I've said Salem like the cigarette, and I recognize now that it doesn't work on the kid at Wendy's. He doesn't understand. All righty, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. On behalf of my family and my wife, Renee, we'd like to wish all of you a happy new year. And we hope and pray that all of you, all of our customers, all of our neighbors, all of our friends have a good 2019. And if it's just as good as the 18, that's a good step, because there's only three ways to go: better, the same, or worse. And we pray that it's at least the same or better for you in the new year. I want to tell you real quick about a repair shop that I've always liked, and that's Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom, I've known him since the early 80s. I know he's honest. I know he's dependable. I know his wife loves him. I know his employees love him. I know he hasn't bounced a check. I know he's a good guy. And he's just like a lot of us older guys. When we mess up, we raise our hand and admit it. And Tom knows how to do that, and so do I, and so does Kurt and everybody else. But Action Auto Repairs, I-17 in Deer Valley, is on the northwest corner, been around since 1983. He has lots of ASE Master Certified Technician, and then he's got a BMW Master Tech. So if you're looking for an independent garage, and you've got a Beamer, and you're anywhere near Deer Valley and I-17, then Action Auto Repair would be a good place for you to take a look at. Okay, I'm going to tell him, well, MarkSalem.com is our web address, and when you go to the first page, you'll see a picture of the handsome dog that's talking on the other end of this microphone.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I did that for you.
They can't see you right now.
I know. I haven't combed my hair this morning. I know. We have a list. We have an icon for the best shops in the valley that I recommend. We have FAQs, and then we have Radio Media, which has all of our radio shows on it. Mm-hmm. And then we have another thing that says Salem Boys, which is our own garage. Let me explain that real quick. This has nothing to do with my garage. It has nothing. This has to do with me helping you. Now, I'll tell you a story real quick. In 1988, my mother was an executive for some big companies. And when I first started doing radio in 1988, after about 6 months or so, my mom, just like your mom, she would listen to a lot of the shows. And she called me up and she said, "Son, you're doing a really good job, but you sound like crap." And I said, "Well, thank you, Mom. I have a lot of experience doing radio, and I'm just learning as we go." I said, "What am I doing wrong?" And she says, "You're thumping your chest every radio show." She says, "You're telling everybody how great you are and that you're the only shop in town." She says, "Don't you have any friends?" And I said, "Yeah, I have a lot of friends, but you're not one of my friends right now, Mom." And she says, "Don't you have a lot of friends that you could refer them to?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." She says, "You'd sound a lot better if you just stopped thumping your chest and telling everybody how great you are." So I did exactly what she said. And that's how we got to the best car repair shops list, because I had guys all over the valley that I knew and trusted. And so I thought, you know, that's a great idea. I'll just do that. Mm-hmm. So since then, I've done everything I can never to say the name of my shop. And the reason why is because I want it to be about your problems, my solutions, and if you want me to, I'll guide you to a shop that I have all the faith in the world to. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been doing for 30 years is there's no chest dumping on this show. We don't tell everybody how great we are. And if anything, we started the show off by admitting that we have screwed up a couple of oil filters and cost us a big job where we had to replace an engine in the last year because we messed up an oil filter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we admit like everybody else, we have faults. We have technicians that make mistakes. We sometimes don't add the work order right, sometimes our estimate. Yeah. But we have a policy like other shops do. Our staff is not allowed to be one penny over their estimate. We give you an out-the-door estimate. And just like a lot of other shops, it's not 1 cent. If it's $30 over the estimate, then either parts department has to cut their parts or the technician has to take a cut in labor or the shop has to take a cut in labor. But somebody is going to make that 1 cent less than the estimate.
Yeah, and that's a good point is people call around and they want to compare estimates or whatever, but they don't know if it has the sales tax in it, the shop supplies, the this, the that. We don't know if we're bidding apples for apples, so it makes it kind of hard sometimes to, you know, people will just go in with the lowest amount, and that's not always what they're going to go out the door for. So you really need to find out, is that total everything out the door?
And another thing that's created, I've got a caller, but another thing that's created is people will track us down, and mm-hmm. they'll call us and want us to bid right. a repair that has symptoms. So we say to them, we can't be the estimator for the valley.
Right.
We can't break the tie and all this stuff. You have to bring your cars to us, because we had a guy the other day that said he needs all this front end work. And I said, well, how's your front tire wear? Oh, it's fine. Do you have any clunking when you stop abruptly or when you take off abruptly? No. Does the car pull to the left or pull to the right? No. So you got an $1,800 estimate for front end work that includes suspension and steering, but yet you don't have any symptoms.
Right.
So if you don't have any symptoms, then what's going on? Mm-hmm. So no tire wear, no pull to the left, no clunking when you take off, no clunking when you stop. The car goes straight down the road. What the heck?
Yeah.
So your symptoms don't match the $1,800 repair you got.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the situation is, but
and
we need your car in front of us because you can't answer, does it have Hydro Boost? Are the drums 8-inch or 9-inch drums for your brakes? And how many fan belts do you have? Well, what motor do you have? And we'll tell you how many fan belts you have. Those are the kinds of questions, so you need to have the car there. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, you're going to have to come by, not on Monday mornings or Friday nights, but we'll guide you the best we can. You can also fax the estimate to us, and we'll do our best to help you out. But what we don't want to become is the tiebreaker on every dispute involving an estimate.
Well, like you say, and people, you know, want an estimate, so we can, you know, if we decide to give it to them as best we can, and then they come in and it has nothing to do with what's wrong with the car. So we've just wasted all this time.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. We had a customer not too long ago that asked us to bid a fuel pump. Didn't know how big the gas tank was, didn't have the car with him to give us the VIN number, blah, blah, blah. So we bid two or three different pumps and different
right.
kinds of models and stuff. So he comes in. It had nothing to do with the fuel system whatsoever. The
right.
crankshaft sensor was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we replaced that. We spent more money doing three estimates for him over the telephone than we spent finding and fixing the crankshaft sensor.
So if we say we won't give you an estimate on the phone, that's kind of why. So
We're not being mean. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Who's that?
That would be Jim.
Jim, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I love your show, and your wife and daughter add so much to it. It's I don't know where you'd be without them.
Oh, thanks
Thank
a
you
lot.
Very much.
Thanks a lot. I want to tell you something. I am especially proud. Renee has been my wingman. Sometimes she flies the plane, sometimes she sits next to me. We have been together since 1979. We have been together. And so she's answered the phone more times than I have, because I usually ran the shop. But she and my daughter, Andy, can out-talk most guys when it comes to car repair. And they don't do that, and I'm proud of them for not doing that. But don't think you're going to talk to Renee or Andy and thinking you're talking to somebody who doesn't know cars as well as anybody. Now, Andy reads and documents every report. every work order. And she looks for the symptoms that match the repair, and the estimate's not one penny over. So she and she looks at 20 or 30 or 40 repair orders a day. So she's pretty doggone good. But anyway, now that you've done what Renee asked you to do, and what is there anything else I can talk to you about?
The check is in the mail, right? Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, and what I need is your opinion on something, and here's the story. My son came down, oldest boy from Wisconsin last March, and they rent a car, and then they drive around. They were here for 10 days. He rented out, they gave him a hybrid, okay. I think it was a Ford Fusion.
Uh-huh.
And when they were about to leave, I asked him, I said, hey, what do you think about this hybrid? Because I didn't know that much about him, and he said he would never own one again in his, or rent one again in his life. And I just want your opinion on hybrids. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, the hybrid oftentimes is an electric-powered car and a gasoline-powered car. And obviously, we charge the batteries, and we have to fill the fuel tank. And there are times we bounce back and forth. The hybrid cars, they're typically the most, how do I put this in a nice way? The most predominant complaint is they have no power. And if you put four people in there and they happen to be four big guys and four bowling balls or their backpacks full of sporting goods or four sets of golf clubs in the trunk, first of all, you're not going to get four big guys in there and you're not going to get four sets of golf clubs. The hybrid also has a battery that's going to be pretty big and pretty expensive. Now, if you were to take that money and factor it into a gasoline motor, the maintenance cost would be the same. The hybrid car is, I'll tell you what drives me crazy about the hybrids.
What?
The hybrids, as you go up and down the mountain to the ranch.
Yeah.
The hybrids go like hell downhill.
Right.
And on the uphill thing, they're doing 51 and a half miles an hour. And they have this stupid dashboard on there that has this little gauge when they're making power and when they're not. Okay. So they're driving their car and they've got 15 miles of traffic behind them, but they're at 51 and a half miles an hour because it's still in the green. And you go by them and you look and there's dashboard. It just drives me. And then when they go downhill, you're going 65, 70 miles an hour and they pass you doing 85 because on the downhill mark, they can charge their batteries.
Right.
So they back way off and we start charging the batteries. So, you know, and besides that, I can't imagine that the hybrid car has all the safety features, although I'm sure it does to some respect to a bigger car. You're always going to fare better in a bigger car in a collision. You're always. And you're always going to lose to a one-ton Dodge, a one-ton Chevy, a one-ton Ford. You're always going to lose in that kind of a collision. But there are appropriate people for the hybrid is appropriate for some people.
Right.
I suppose if you drove 3 or 4 miles to work every day and you knew that you could do that electrically for 3 or 4 days in a row, yeah, that would be a good car for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to go to Tucson and you were a delivery driver and you were taking blood samples from Phoenix to Tucson or from Tucson to Phoenix, I wouldn't want to ride with you because most of the hybrid cars may have a range on the electric side from 50 to 60 to 70 miles an hour. Now, the Teslas are a little different. They go up to 200 or 300 miles, but it's how you drive them. So if you're going to put an egg between your throttle and your foot and you don't, and the egg's not hard boiled,
mm-hmm.
just a normal chicken egg, then if you use the throttle like that, you'll get the best fuel economy out of any car you drive. So hybrids, there's a purpose for them, but they don't represent 1% of the cars on the road. And it's mostly the environmentalists. It's mostly owned and operated by ladies with hair on their legs. It's
stop. So what you're saying is you wouldn't own one.
Well, I was trying to describe, you know, the environmentalists. Okay, it was a stupid joke, but everybody else but you is laughing. Gil, what do you think of that?
he's not going to touch it because he's smarter than you.
Hairy armpits,
oh,
you know,
gosh.
Hairy legs and hairy armpits. Anyway, let's change the subject to Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Auto Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. Chuck Nyday owned and operated and brought Auto Dynamics out of the ground in 1982. His son Derek now runs Auto Dynamic. Well, Chuck does something that nobody really knows what he's doing, but he's not on the golf course. Nevertheless, Automotive Dynamics doesn't pay their staff a commission or a percentage of your repair bill. Therefore, the staff will not sell unnecessary parts or repairs because there's no benefit. we're all watching Derek on this thing to see exactly how that turns out, because it is an interesting concept. Most everywhere in the automotive industry, they're either paid hourly, they're paid salary, or they're paid a percentage of what they have to do. Sometimes it's a percentage of their labor, sometimes it's a percentage of the parts, sometimes it's a percentage of both.
Or some extra on top of the parts and the labor.
You're right.
On top is what I'm trying to say.
Of the total.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways, but putting your entire staff on salary or hourly, mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a big deal.
Right.
And so sometimes I think the cost will overrun you, but then sometimes they won't. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you're in Sun City area, I want to recommend Auto Dynamics. They're on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue, and they've been there a long time. Mm-hmm. Once you meet Derek, you'll know that you're in good hands, because he's a good kid. Yeah. I mean, he's not a kid. He's a father with kids.
Right.
But for me, he's Chuck's kid, mm-hmm. and I've always liked Derek. And he's the kind of guy that, if my daughters weren't married, mm-hmm. Then Derek would be an appropriate husband for. But Derek is married.
Okay.
And my daughters.
So they're married.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
I'm not trying to hook them up. Okay. So here's the end of the day. The end of the stay is this: if you got hairy legs and armpits, you should have a hybrid car.
Oh gosh. So that means you should drive a hybrid.
I drive a diesel truck. I could fit hybrids in the bed of my truck, I'd probably get better fuel economy than they would. Mm-hmm. And my truck goes downhill faster than theirs does too. When you drive it. You drive it.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, my email is mark@marksalem.com. If I offended any of you, I'm not sorry. It's just a joke. So you can call me and send me nastygrams. I'm just going to read them and laugh, and I'm not going to answer you. But if I offended you, I am sorry. And if you have hairy legs, then you should shave them. So at the bottom line, mark@marksalem.com. If you want to throw arrows, that's the way to do it. But if you have a car question, you're welcome to use that as well. mark@marksalem.com. On behalf of Renee and my wife and myself, Happy New Year to all. Please drive safely. Please don't drink and drive. And if somebody does something nice for you, like let you in a lane, stick your arm out the window and say thanks.